You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I am your host, Maggie Dawn. We've got a bunch of breaking news, and I have to start with the disappointing fact that the Brewers just dropped the first game in today's doubleheader to the Cubs' final score. 6-4, they had a few shots at besting the Cubs this afternoon, but could not produce on those runners in scoring position. I'll be watching the game tonight. Hope you will be as well. Remember, Civic Media's got you covered. A bunch of our stations across the state are now Brewers affiliates and carry those games when the Brewers are playing. So check out your local Civic Media affiliate and see if they've got you covered for the Brewers action this evening. We've got a great show lineup for you today. At 5 o'clock, I'll be joined by the executive director of the Wisconsin ACLU, Dr. Melinda Brennan. We'll be discussing how sheriff's departments across the state seem to be reaping some financial benefits for complying with the Trump administration's ICE detainer requests, some of which may be unconstitutional. We'll dig in with Dr. Brennan at 5. And at 5:30, we've got Dr. Lowell Barrington of Marquette. He's going to update us on the continuing talks regarding the 3.5 years-long Russia-Ukraine war. A bit of breaking news to start us off this afternoon. The White House says Putin has promised to meet with Zelensky in the coming weeks. Again, we'll discuss more at 5:30 with Professor Barrington. Weaponization czar Ed Martin, yeah, the guy that got bumped from an appointment, they put him in charge of this little newfangled division within the Department of Justice. Yes, the weaponization czar Ed Martin has called on New York Attorney General and can I speak English this afternoon? New York Attorney General Letitia James to resign. This is apparently the second time in almost as many days that he does so on completely bogus grounds. We may discuss that a little bit later this afternoon. And have you ever heard of this guy? His name's Nick Adams. He's Donald Trump's appointment to become the ambassador to Malaysia. Yeah, I hadn't heard of him either. But now I have. And who in the frickety frack is this guy? Well, he's now a U.S. citizen. He emigrated here from Australia a few years back, and he has a, quote, masculinity hobbyist. I don't even know what that is, but whatever it is, it spooks me out a little bit. I don't know about you. He talks about Hooters and eating steaks and stuff like that. He even has a post on his X account where he takes you on this tour of this huge McMansion that he lives in alone. It's all a bit icky. Well, this appointment has catalyzed nearly 2 months of protests by Malaysians outside the U.S. Embassy in Malaysia. Can you imagine that? Like, you're so ticked off about the U.S. appointee to become the ambassador that you're already he's not even the ambassador yet. They're already protesting. Most Malaysians consider this to be an offensive appointment. Here's his most recent ex post. Yes, I am an alpha male. Yes, I eat rare steaks. Yes, I visit Hooters frequently. Yes, I love America. Yes, I support President Trump unconditionally. Oh, that's nice. Yes, I was nominated to be U.S. ambassador to Malaysia. No, I will not be apologizing for any of it. You mean being a cringe-inducing, knuckle-dragging Neanderthal? You don't want to... That's apparently suitable for all sorts of foreign relations in a very delicate region of the world where you have Chinese aggression popping. Merits be damned. Yeah, that guy's going to be the ambassador of Malaysia. Eat gads. And this afternoon, more entrants into the 2026 Wisconsin election fray. Late yesterday afternoon, it seems like Representative Francesca Hong may be inclined to run for governor. And in Green Bay, Wisconsin, two Northeast Democrats have thrown their hats in the ring to run against 8th Congressional District U.S. Representative Tony Weed, the guy with the good hair but empty head, in 2026. This particular announcement today was made by the former Green Bay School Board member Rick Croson. He He announced in a couple of Facebook posts that he will be challenging Wade in 2026. Earlier this month, Mark Scheffler of Appleton filed his campaign documents to run in the 8th District. His official announcement will happen after Labor Day, but Mr. Scheffler plans to run as a progressive Democrat. That's a little bit of the breaking news, so let me introduce my fabulous guest for this hour. We're going to get into all sorts of things. Angela Lang, Executive Director of Black Leaders Organizing Communities. This is what happens when I'm not reading off of my notes, Angela. Welcome back to the show. It's so nice to see you again.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for having me. There's a lot of news to cover.
A lot of news today. Some of it, I don't know if the proto-masculinity guy, I don't know if that's really
weird.
News, but I thought
it's
it was
cringe and weird.
Really cringy and needed a note, you know. But Angela, you and I are going to talk today about updates related to FEMA aid that may be coming to southeastern Wisconsin. County Executive Crowley putting out a press release today. We want to update folks on that process, where it stands. We're also going to get into Donald Trump's announcement that he's going to stop mail-in voting and stop the use of voting machines, because, you know, when I'm doing really complex calculations in the tens of millions or hundreds of thousands, I like to, you know, do that all in my head or by hand with a pencil, because calculators are untrustworthy. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about all of that. And last but not least, we're going to get into the connection between the Boston mayor's response to the federal government, which she sent today. I have a copy of that letter. In response to the federal government's directive that Boston is to comply with ICE detainer requests, that has some resonance with both Milwaukee's long history, going back to Joshua Glover, as well as Milwaukee's recent history, which I was a witness to as Corp Counsel of Milwaukee County. It is all of a whole, and we're going to get there this afternoon. Angela, just your general reactions to the disaster that we've had here, and the process of recovery and estimation of damages, and how we really do approach flood risk in the good ways and the ways that we may need to do some work on. This is, of course, quite timely today, because in a moment of rare bipartisanship, every single one of the members of Wisconsin's congressional delegation, so it's 8 congresspeople, 6 Republicans and 2 Dems, even though we're mostly a Democratic state, and our 2 senators, Ron Johnson and Tammy Baldwin, all together signed a letter to the acting administration of FEMA asking that they expedite their damage assessment and actually declare an emergency here in southeastern Wisconsin. Your reaction just writ large, Angela, to what's been happening here?
Yeah, you know, one, as a lifelong Milwaukeean, right, we do not see this type of flooding. I remember, I think it was like 2010 or 2011, there was like a big massive flood. I was on campus at UWM in the summertime. It was awful. And that was nothing compared to this. And my heart goes out to all the state fair workers. I once upon a time worked at the popcorn wagon. That's how I made my living through college. And I remember you worked all 11 days despite the weather. And we've had to evacuate at points because there was a thunderstorm. And again, all of those experiences were nothing compared to what we saw recently. I think we've seen the social media videos, the harrowing rescues and people trying to get their dogs, all sorts of things. And, you know, when I immediately saw that FEMA, the request was made to FEMA, I'm like, let's see how this goes. Right. I'm not going to lie. I didn't feel confident that we were even going to get anything under this current administration. This administration does not take just humanity and prioritizing people's basic needs and natural disasters seriously. And the first couple days, there was one Republican, I think, that had signed on to the letter. And I'm like, really?
Yeah, that was Representative Fitzgerald. He actually sent the first letter, which I called out as being very good politics and reflective of the very real need of southeastern Wisconsinites of all political persuasions, and no political persuasion at all.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't just a Milwaukee thing. I think that's also part of it is, you know, if it's just a city of Milwaukee thing, oh, let those black and brown people fend for themselves. That's always the case. But that wasn't the case for this. Wauwatosa, you know, got slammed drastically, you know, West Allis and some of these other places. And so I am encouraged that there is a rare moment of bipartisanship, but it shouldn't take a natural disaster like this for it to happen.
Yeah, thank goodness for that. It is, again, a very, very big bright spot in all of this that we have able. This was the one thing that can bring all of our congressional reps together. Here is why, Angela, I think people were deeply concerned about the federal government's response to this disaster in southeastern Wisconsin, because in Donald Trump's first administration, with the California wildfires that happened during his administration, which told billions and billions in damages, according to Olivia Troy, who is a national security advisor hired into the Trump administration, as well as other intelligence officials that were responsible for briefing Donald Trump in the Oval Office. And Ms. Troy eventually went on to work in the office of the vice president. So she then worked for Vice President Pence. She has gone on the record very clearly articulating that she and another advisor had to put in front of Donald Trump the maps of where the fires were in California and overlay them with voter maps for those counties, because Donald Trump was going to decline to send any emergency assistance at all to California because it was a blue state and those people don't support me. So they had to show him that in many of the places that were getting very, very tragic amounts of damages were in fact his people. So, you know, that's the track record here. I think this is an interesting moment, right? Because is there some kind of very tacit acknowledgement by Senator Johnson, by Representatives Style and Fitzgerald, Van Orten, Weed, Tiffany, and Grothman, that that kind of raw, are you my supporter or did you vote for the other person, calculus goes into whether or not Donald Trump will permit executive branch agencies to actually do their job for all American citizens and residents, not just those who voted for Trump. And by the way, just so that you understand the math, there were nearly double the number of eligible citizen voters that either stayed home or voted for Donald Trump, then voted for Donald Trump. So you can shove your mandate where the sun don't shine, because that's not what a mandate is, folks. We're going to continue this fine discussion. On the other side, we're going to get into Donald Trump's attacks on mail-in voting, his history of the Trump taco flip-flop on mail-in voting, and where all this stands now, and what it means right here in Wisconsin. Keep it locked. I've got Angela Lang, Executive Director of Black Leaders Organizing Communities out of Milwaukee, and me here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back, everybody, and welcome if you're just joining me. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Got a great guest with me this first hour. Her name's Angela Lang, the Executive Director of Black Leaders Organizing Communities. Just to round out our discussion of the continuing disaster recovery efforts here in southeastern Wisconsin, according to Milwaukee County Emergency Management Director Cassandra Liebel, early damage estimates in and around Milwaukee County are well over $34 million, that number expected to increase over time as additional jurisdictions' damages are folded into that assessment. And again, Wisconsin's entire congressional delegation sending a letter to the acting administrator of FEMA today requesting assistance. They write this: "We anticipate that the state will promptly submit a formal request for a presidential major disaster declaration following completion of the preliminary damage assessment by FEMA." FEMA expected to be boots on the ground by Thursday here in southeastern Wisconsin. Anyone coming to your home to do a damage assessment will introduce themselves and provide official credentials. For your own safety, Milwaukee County Executive urges you to check all badges, verify IDs before sharing any personal information or allowing anyone inside your house. If you are unsure or uncomfortable, just keep your door closed and contact your local authorities who can verify the FEMA personnel that is at your house. You can support potential instances of fraud or impersonation relating to FEMA at stopfemafraud@fema.dhs.gov. That's stopfemafraud@fema.dhs.gov or calling 866-223-0814. That's 866-223-0814. Thanks for, just had to get the little PSA in there, Angela.
It's important. The governor even was tweeting about being careful about scammers knocking on your door and stuff too. So it's super important.
And that's been an issue in the past, people impersonating FEMA agents. We've got folks out there impersonating ICE officers these days and federal law enforcement since they don't wear any identifying markings and cover up their faces and don't show badges or give numbers or any other identifying agency information. We'll get to all that in just a few minutes. That's coming up. But Angela, one of Block's core tenets is really to get people re-engaged as voters and as active participant citizens in our election processes, but just politically overall, whether that's in local government or state or federal government. So you work a lot for Get Out the Vote efforts, voter education efforts. Tell folks about how central this is to Block's mission and your reactions to not just Donald Trump's first executive order back in March, but now we're expecting an executive order any day, building on his Truth Social post from yesterday morning, that he is going to, quote, end mail-in ballots, get rid of mail-in ballots, and also, while we're at it, highly inaccurate, very expensive, and seriously controversial voting machines. So tell us, pardon my cheeky impersonation, about your mission and your reactions to this.
Yeah, it sure doesn't make it easier. I'll just start there. Mm-hmm. You know, I think, especially thinking of the pandemic, right? There was a lot of vote by mail. I myself voted by mail for the first time. And, you know, if I'm not voting early in person, I'm voting by mail. It has become a thing that people rely on. And it can also, just be honest, it can be hit or miss in the Black community because there's something that people want to see their ballot go in the machine and get that sticker because there's some distrust these days. But people also know that drop boxes are incredibly convenient for folks. They are monitored. They are safe for the most part. You know, we've seen some instances across the country and, you know, a certain mayor trying to pick up and move a box, right? We're not talking about those things. But, you know, it is another way for people to exercise their vote, especially when you have like a pandemic or, you know, if voting isn't going to be a universal holiday, how are we making sure that it is accessible as possible to folks? And I think one point, and not to be alarmist, but it's kind of the environment that we're in, is what is he setting up by doing this, right? He's setting up trying to already undermine future election results if they don't go his way, whether it be the midterms or the 2028 election. We are a little over a year out from the midterms, and the fact that he's doing this, trying to already undermine and discredit vote by mail and drop boxes and things like this, I am really fearful he is trying to just start to make a play to potentially not have any more elections, potentially, right? You know, his friend is Putin, right?
Yeah, so said as much yesterday. Hey, well, you, President Zelensky, don't have elections when there's a war.
Exactly.
So if we've got a war, we don't need one either.
He's setting it up. It's clear, and that is very terrifying and concerning.
Here's what else he said in his Truth Social post yesterday. He directs that the states are, quote, merely an agent for the federal government in counting and tabulating votes. That could not be more wrong, constitutionally speaking. And this is a point that he actually wrote it down there, that he thinks states are just literally arms of the federal government that he should be able to control, including their National Guards, is painfully obvious. And this is going to come up in our discussion about these detainer requests. Mm-hmm. Because remember when conservatives used to squawk about states' rights all the time?
All the time.
Super weird that he's not about that. No, the states are merely an agent for the federal government. truly bizarre. We will continue this discussion and get into those detainer requests and sheriff's departments in this state making money off of them with Angela Lang coming up next. Don't go anywhere. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back, everybody, and welcome if you're just joining us. I'm Maggie Dawn. I'm joined by my special guest this next half hour, Angela Lang, Executive Director of Black Leaders Organizing Communities. We got some action on the text line. So before we move on to these detainer requests, let's get some love and respect to our many listeners, callers, and texters. If you have a comment or question for Angela or I about any of the things that we've been talking about this afternoon, the detainer requests, the cancellation of mail-in voting, apparently, by Donald Trump, even though he has no constitutional authority to do that, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Wanted to give some love to Jamie Martinson. She's my senior producer. She was expressing that when you get rid of mail-in voting, it will make it much harder for folks that are older, that are students out of state, temporary residents out of state, right? Senior citizens, overseas military. I mean, can you imagine saying to all, well, if there's no mail-in voting, then how exactly are people serving our country, giving, you know, their lives to protecting our freedoms? And how are they going to vote, Mr. President? You know, that's going to make it so much harder. We mentioned the drop boxes. You know, this is one of those areas where the nonsense has now overwhelmed all of the reasonable discussion. And by that, Angela, I simply mean, of course, drop boxes should be secured. I think they should be likely monitored, like put the cameras on them, secure them, place them adjacent to a clerk's office or whomever your jurisdiction's. Nobody's debating that it's essential to secure.
I want my ballot secured. Yeah.
Absolutely. Everybody does. Exactly. Nobody's having that argument. No. But when the mayor of Wausau wheels the drop box off under his own volition, and now we've got DA Eric Toney, another Republican who previously opined that he just decided drop boxes were illegal, so they didn't have them in Washington County. Like, that guy is the one that's investigating the Wausau mayor. I'm sure he's going to conclude that there was lots of illegal. Of course he won't. But this is all of these things. I mean, I read a series of both true and utterly fictitious things that Donald Trump is doing or has done. Again, some of them old, some of them current, and some of them entirely made up yesterday, that paints the point and I think makes a point about people being robbed of their right to vote. A few more things. Folks, if you want to check that list out, you can find that episode again at Maggie Dawn Show on Facebook and Instagram. You can also check out all of our old shows wherever you get your podcasts from. Jacob, my technical producer, also says this: if states are agents of the federal government, then why aren't they running around with masks and hiding their faces and names? It's a good gosh darn question, Jacob. Yikes. And on the text line, Steve from Milwaukee, I'm to the point where we are dealing with Nazis, in my opinion. So there are no rules anymore. Not enough sense in Republicans to or not enough sense in Republicans to find a way to compromise. You can't compromise with Nazis, the rotten fish head of Trump. Any Republican voter OK with ending vote by mail are Nazis and foes. Promoting voter suppression. Folks, when I'm reading your text, attention to grammar is very helpful so that I can read them accurately on the line. Steve also saying that Trump is an embarrassment. Cam from Appleton also weighing in. All of this, you know, when you think about the voter purges, and Mark from Prairie du Sac pointing out that he believes that voter purges are likely a violation of the 14th Amendment, especially Section 2, which talks about that you shall not abridge the franchise or a person's right to vote. The purges, right, the targeting of blue and Democratic cities, the targeting of mail-in voting, the multi-decade effort to make it harder for black and brown people and young people and folks with disabilities to vote. Those aren't made up things. They're very, very well documented. And remember, he gave Bill Barr a directive to seize voting machines back in 2020. Yep. It's what led to Barr's ultimate resignation at the end of December. Pam Bondi will execute on that order. She will order FBI agents to seize voting machines. Angela, are you preparing at Block in sort of a response mode? Are you trying to educate from a grassroots perspective, right? There's all these squawkers talking about the Constitution and norms. But hey, on the ground, how do we ready ourselves for that? Because it's coming.
It's hard. You know, I think for us, that's why it's so important for us to have this year-round engagement, is that when something like this happens, we can talk about it now in real time. We don't have to wait a couple weeks before an election. I'm sorry, they changed this thing. They got rid of drop boxes. And this whole time you're mentally preparing your own plan. And so I think that's one of the advantages of us having this kind of year-round engagement. We're able to answer people's questions. You know, we take a portion of our community meeting where we talk about current events. People are able to ask questions. Hey, I saw this thing on the news. Is this true? How did we get here? And so I think that is really important. But, you know, we also are preparing for the worst, right? How are we tailoring our message, tailoring our education, and perhaps tailoring our tactics? There's a tactic that folks use. I haven't done it in quite some time, but we used to do what we call these things, knock and drags, where, you know, you're knocking on someone's house and you're like, you literally persuade them enough to get in your car right in that moment. You
been there, sister friend.
Yeah, knock and drags. I've done the 5 a.m. knock and drags. They're not fun, right? But do we have to go back to some of those tactics because people are, you know, maybe voting on election day? But if people are voting on election day, we've seen what happened in places like Georgia, where you can't even hand out bottles of water and, you know, people can't sit down, all of these things. So I think we're slowly chipping away at democracy for a long time, but specifically in the voter rights section. And it's meant to confuse people. People are used to having their own process, right? We know a lot of our elders, they want to be the first ones in line. They get up, they get dressed up in their Sunday best. They are probably there before the poll workers are there, right? People have their routines. And when you start to disrupt people's routines and then you kind of throw in, you know, this chaos and these scare tactics, it really can turn people off from voting and thinking can I even do this? Back in 2012, I believe, Scott Walker had these billboards. I will never forget. He had these billboards on the north side of Milwaukee that were handcuffs with big giant letters, voter fraud is a felony. And so, you know, there are people who had their voting rights restored after going through the criminal justice system, seeing these signs wait, can I vote? If I go vote, am I going to get arrested? I think my voting rights are restored. Let me not risk it. And I think, you know, right now people are thinking of a lot of risks of even showing up to the polls, showing up to protest and resist. People are getting snatched off the street. So I think it's all connected in how we're scaring people into submission of a dictatorship, quite frankly.
And this reminds me, Jamie, I and for all of you, we're going to schedule, and Angela, I would love for you to be here and as one of our panelists. I want to have a show soon, within the next month or so, that focuses on how to protest, how to engage, anticipating all these things. We can include, hey, how to ensure that your right to vote will not be taken from you, right? Hey, you can ask for time off of work. I think you get at least 3 hours to vote. Right. Mm-hmm. All these kinds of things, how to protest smartly and not get arrested, those kinds of things, and actually go through these tips. I just received some communications and outreach from one of the organized groups of veterans and former intelligence officers about how to engage with National Guard troops and to do so as productively as possible, keeping in mind that the National Guard basically markets itself to people as being disaster responders. Mm-hmm. That's what they don't market themselves being yes, and when you sign up for the Guard, we're going to send you to our nation's capital or LA to face off against protesters.
Mm-hmm. Or homeless people.
Or to put people's stuff in garbage bins, right? That's not what those folks sign up for. So we should definitely do that because talking about people's rights in this moment and getting really clear about listen, if you absolutely can't vote on voting day, here's how you make damn sure. This is the timeline. These are the documents. And I think trying to reach out to folks about what on paper and off paper is and when voting rights are restored in the state so that people are absolutely clear would be incredibly important. I did want to share some sound, since we're spending a little bit more time on this, about the stupid hypocrisy of Donald Trump on this, because back when it was his election, he would say to his supporters, yes, 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 please use the mail-in voting. But when it comes to people, it's, again, everything about Donald Trump is rules for me, and then there's rules for thee and the people that don't agree with me. This is his daughter-in-law, now the head of the RNC, Lara Trump. Let's take a listen to this. This is Cut 6.
Hi, this is Lara Trump calling on behalf of President Trump's campaign, and we're urging you to get out and vote before Election Day. This is a tight race, and we need every single Trump supporter to get out and cast their vote. We must have massive turnout to make our victory too big to rig and overcome any and everything they throw at us. Go to swampthevoteusa.com.
Don't do that. Anyways, we can turn this off. When you're early voting in Wisconsin, the only way to early vote is technically mail-in voting, or because it's all absentee early voting. This is Trump himself. You got to listen carefully because he talks about it right at the front end of this. This is Cut 7.
Whether you vote early, absentee, by mail, or in person, we are going to protect the vote. That's the most important thing we have to do.
Yay, blah, blah, blah. Except for anybody who wants to vote for my opponent, then not so much protecting the vote. And finally, let's take a listen to Cut 8, if you can make sense. This is vintage Trump gobbledygook. Take a listen.
Our entire nation is counting on the people of this great commonwealth, and I know you will not let us down. You're not going to let us down. We got to get out and vote. You can start right away. You know that, right? Now we have this stupid stuff where you can vote 45 days early. I wonder what the hell happens during that 45. Let's move the CD's votes. We've got about a million.
Anyways,
votes.
More Trump nonsense. But again, the vote early. So when it is his campaign, he's all about it. Now let's not have it. It's just so two-faced, and it is targeted. It is about black and brown folks. It's about young folks. It's about disabled folks. I think the sound is pretty gosh darn hilarious, personally.
It's wild.
Right?
Like, there are receipts, right? And it's, I think what also is very baffling that we don't talk about is that, like, the extreme incompetence of the Trump administration and the fact that, like, there's not even, they don't even try to put spin on things. They don't even try to clean up, like, oh man, this might not play well from, like, a PR standpoint. They don't care that there's literal receipts where he said, yeah, vote by mail, it's fine. And now he's changing his tune. It's just, it's wild that there's this level of, I don't even care to try and make things make sense.
Yeah, there many folks will reference the fact that totalitarians, fascists, and dictators will often have in their leadership ranks, in their governments, toadies, sycophants, fools, and the corrupt. It's basically idiots and corrupt folks, because that's who will say yes to the tyrant. It's the clown show on a national scale here in Trumpland. We're going to take it back, folks. Angela and I are going to talk about how we're doing that here in Wisconsin. We will move on to those ICE detainer requests. Angie from Monroe, I will answer your question on the other side about real IDs and voting here in Wisconsin. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back, everybody, and welcome if you're just joining me. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Tuesday afternoon. We've been talking about Donald Trump's opposition to mail-in ballots, which feels all too convenient and is, of course, yet another brick in the wall that Republicans have been building between communities of color, disabled folks, young folks, university students, and folks that work 2-3 jobs to try to stay afloat. Another brick in the wall between them and exercising their voting rights. No idea why we make it so gosh darn hard here. There are ways to ensure that only folks that are properly citizens, all of this happens on a back end process. It's verified through the federal government, all that kind of stuff. And why the hell do we vote on Tuesdays? Make it make sense. We should be voting on the weekend. We got a couple of callers that maybe have questions for my special guest or I. Again, my guest, Angela Lang, Executive Director at Black Leaders Organizing Communities. Troy from Mount Horeb. Say hi to Angela. What's your thought or question?
Hello, Angela. Hello, Maggie.
Hey, Troy.
I hope you guys are doing well.
Thank you.
Who dropped the ball and how did Tony get appointed to this? I haven't been able to find that out.
Tony get appointed to what specifically?
The special counsel for investigating the Wausau mayor.
Oh, you mean Eric? I thought you meant like, yeah. Hey, Uncle Tony. You mean Eric Tony, the DA in Washington.
Tony, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. My former DA from when I lived in Fond du Lac.
So thank you so much for the question, Troy, and I hope you're doing well as well. Josh Call's office basically recused itself. So did the district attorney in the county in which Wausau sits, also conflict of interest. So they needed a special prosecutor because you're dealing with a mayor. Sure. And so the sheriff's department picked the quote-unquote independent special prosecutor, Eric Tony. Now, I will say this. From what I have seen of Mr. Tony's record, other than this highly partisan nonsense about the drop boxes, which I would have think would have been a conflict because he already opined publicly about their legality, right?
Mm-hmm.
What I've seen of him is that he has been a reasonable district attorney, but like up is down and left is right. So I remain extremely concerned. Can you imagine if Chevy Johnson started to meddle with election equipment and was like rolling it around? And I mean that with respect, Mayor Cavalier Johnson of the city of Milwaukee, what the righty whitey talkers would like, the freaking out that would be happening.
Oh yeah. Especially with it, Milwaukee, there's always this, you know, Zuckerbucks grants to Milwaukee and Green Bay, like all of that. There's always like Milwaukee is always doing something nefarious. Imagine if the mayor did that.
Yes, it's just such a double standard. Mm-hmm. Joe from Madison, say hi to Angela. What you got for us?
Hey, YouTube. Great show as always. Three quick points. Number one, your granularity last week in discussing what people needed or could get from the city and the states and the feds and when the flooding was happening was absolutely terrific. It's what radio was about. Here's the information. It's right here. I also really appreciated the half hour that you had recently where you talked about, and people should go back and find it on the stream, where you talked about Donald Trump and his inability to be a good capitalist, if you will, and be able to afford all of us an opportunity for that. Great speech, and you should definitely show that again. You just mentioned that you were thinking about having some situations where people could talk about what can you do with voting, where there are questions about it, but also what do you do about protest? I can't think of anything more important, particularly with the notion of understanding that soon the National Guard will be probably cruising around Milwaukee and Madison. Soon, that's a very likely proposition. So given that, where can I shoot from with my camera? Can they take it away from me? Can I get it back? Can I shoot from my front steps? Is that fine under Fourth Amendment? Can they come up to me and take it from me? These are the sorts of questions that I find very interesting and important to go through because we're starting to see that stuff happen in Washington, D.C. So I would love to hear a show or part of a show that would be on that. And do highlight it. Give us a promo so we know that's coming down the pike and we can make sure to have our questions all ready for you. Thanks a lot, gals. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks. Joe, you're the bomb, first of all, as all of our listeners are, even those that disagree with me and folks like my guest, Angela. I just want to answer Joe's question really briefly about photographing or videotaping when you are engaging with law enforcement. One, I highly recommend it.
Yep.
Okay. But you can't, by virtue, if you are the person that is in the engagement, you still have to follow the officer's directions. Right. They may tell you to put down the phone because they want to see your hand. You're going to want to do that. You can set it down and leave it recording. Follow officer's directions. If you are surrounding or by a person that is having an interaction with an immigration official, someone executing an immigration non-warrant baloney piece of paper that some random person at ICE signed that has no legal effect at all. Anyways, I digress. You're doing that. You got somebody that's protesting, interacting with law enforcement of any stripe. Again, first things first, follow law enforcement direction. They may tell you to back up, back up, back up. You should probably be following that, but you can continue to tape the or record, whether that's audio or photographs, whatever it is. If they are in public, if you are not inside of a federal building, and that's key, once you're on federal property inside of a federal building, that is no longer considered generically public. Now, it depends on where you are in the building, but for these purposes this afternoon, I just wanted to get those clear points out there. And yes, Joe, we will promote that show because there is so much to be talked about. Angela, we didn't get to the detainer requests. I will
with
Dr.
Guest.
Yeah, I got Dr. Brennan coming on, Wisconsin's ACLU executive director, to talk about sheriffs profiting over arguably illegal detainer requests. Thanks so much, Angela. We're always doing some
thank
work
you.
Here on the show. Great
I
to talk with you.
It.
Yeah, you
me.
Take care. Again, thanks to Angela Lang, Executive Director of Black Leaders Organizing Communities out of Milwaukee. Don't go anywhere. Wisconsin's Executive Director of the ACLU is up next. We discuss profiteering off of people's pain right here in Wisconsin. Don't go anywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.